For those of you who may be newer to the ministry, I just want to introduce Corby to you. And Corby and Janie, you know, became acquainted with Kids Alive Guatemala almost 10 years ago. In the year 2000, they began, as so many do, in connecting with Kids Alive by leading short-term mission teams, as they did from their home church, where Corby served on staff there for many years as an administrative and missions pastor. And then in 2009, Corby became our Kids Alive Country Director for Guatemala. He provides leadership for all Kids Alive ministries there, and with Janie, who works part-time in nutrition management, staff care, and supports medical mission clinics. And for even some deeper background in Corby, you may know that he has a degree in computer engineering. He has an MBA from Clemson University in South Carolina, as well as a master's in religion from Liberty University. Janie has a master's of science in nutrition from Auburn University, the other school in Alabama, and she's a registered dietitian. Their two daughters, Carly and Maggie, after graduating from high school in Guatemala, are now both living in the Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota area. So Corby, thanks for taking time out to have a conversation with us today. We know that you do have some different types of time on your hands with what's happening there in Guatemala with the change of status there, but bring us up to speed, first of all, with what's it like there with COVID-19 and this, just the status of the ministry as it relates to that.
Thanks for everybody to dialing in, and know we're all got a lot on our minds, and I appreciate people giving us a little bit of that mind share. Guatemala is on a curfew now from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. They've asked all non-essential businesses not to operate. The schools have been closed at least until the end of Holy Week, and I suspect they'll be closed through the end of April. I think all these sometimes I lose my English word. All these things that we're doing, I think I'll carry forth through April. The one thing that concerns me now is I was just getting an email from our administrative manager. Some of the pueblos, some of the small towns and villages are kind of like trying to barricade up and not let anybody in or out. I've been, questioned a couple of times going into San Lucas. And the big issue that causes is difficulty getting people in to work. So that's something we're going to navigate. We're going to try to go to a judge or the government and get a letter so we can get in and out of some of these towns where some of our people live. But whether that town will respect that letter or not is a different issue. So Guatemala, like the rest of the world, has its share of fear. And we're trying to navigate a ministry for the kids in our residential program, and for the families outside of our residential program, of how we can keep on meeting needs. So I just a kind of a brief overview of where different ministries are. Source of Hope, our school in the village of Zapote, has been closed for a couple of weeks now, and the team out there, we're trying to get homework assignments to kids. So they're getting homework assignments. One of the things that Guatemala has done is on TV, they're running some classes. So the children who have TVs at their house can take advantage of that. We've also started a food distribution to our families at the Source of Hope, basically using our budget for the school nutrition program, putting out kind of basic need bags of beans, rice, oil, salt and flour, just some basic dry goods to families. And we've started doing that. So I think we have 115 families that we're trying to support in the village there. Our other programs, OASIS and Archaea, both residential programs for sexually abused girls, you can't put the kids in the freezer. until all this blows over. So I just had a meeting this morning. We had a meeting yesterday with leadership. And so the issue there is, how do we balance the emotional health of the girls and the staff who have to take care of them while they're there with the risk of physical issues from obviously COVID-19. And I had originally planned on having my program director, Carla Galvan, join us, but we made some changes yesterday, did some further staff reductions, reviewing who is absolutely essential and who not. And so she's kind of got her hands a little bit fuller today. And to be honest, she was saying she really didn't want to do it because she can't talk about her staff right now without crying. And so they've really, these house moms have really stepped up in a huge way. And, you know, we gotta realize, I mean, it's not just in Guatemala, but all over Kids Alive, care staff, people who are in there, who are being house parents to these kids are, I think, every bit of missionary as me. And so I worry about my mom back in South Carolina, my daughters in Minneapolis. They worry about their family in these different villages. And so they're leaving their family to come and stay dedicated to these kids. And Guatemalan culture, family is everything. And so they are really showing the example of leaving mother, father, brother, and sister in his name. And so we're just super grateful for their dedication. And so I was in there with a meeting with them this morning and going through the new kind of work plan of who's essential and who's not. So basically the only people going in to campus is Carla and me and the psychologist and the house care staff. And the buyers having to deliver the food. But we really tried to seal it off a little bit tighter than we had been. And so we're doing, trying to do classes, our special ed classes via Zoom. We're doing our worship program and discipleship via Zoom. Linnea Ness is doing a great job keeping that going. And really trying to figure out where we've set a table. We're going to review again, right after Easter, what we want to do, because it's tough. It's tough on the girls. It's not like vacation because they can't leave. And you got 51 girls on campus plus 15 babies on campus. And some of these girls have some significant issues they're still working through. And, you know, the tension level rises and we need to make sure they're taken care of and the staff is. So that's kind of this balance. It's kind of like working in a hospital. These TIAs are exactly the same as nurses, and you're trying to balance what's exposure physically versus keeping emotional health good on both parts. And Casa Ster is basically the same. That's our independence program. All the kids are there. We're trying to minimize staff there, but, you know, still it's there for better or worse. Kids have the young ladies in Casa Ster have their cell phones so they can while away the hours on social media, probably for worse. But, you know, there's a little bit they're in a little bit better shape emotionally over at Casa Ster. Mm-hmm. Our Families Together program, which is our social workers basically are not coming on campus, but they are working with the families of the girls. So in the last 2 weeks, I got their stats in. They've made over 200 phone calls, checking in on girls' families, seeing how things are going with them. We're starting to develop a program where some of the families in critical need for lack of work, we're going to get some basic need baskets to them, and getting some our mentors for the girls that are kind of trapped now in Oasis and Archaea. They're wanting to get messages and gifts into them. So social work is trying to coordinate how that would, how that works out. So on pause, but very much still very busy. Mm-hmm.
I just recently heard that you were woken up last night to be checked out. You want to share a little bit more about your evening before?
Yeah, actually, Guatemala has responded to this. The government and health department have responded to this very good. So, yeah, I mean, the health department was just coming by last night to give us a final check over to officially end our 14-day. We are on 14-day house quarantine. Janie and I were in California doing some fundraising and meetings with people. And they announced that the border was going to close on the 16th. And we scrambled to get in a plane to get back here on the 14th. And that marked. So the 28th was the actual end day of quarantine. So the government was a little slow getting around to us, but I was really impressed. I've been impressed with how the government's been handling the situation here. They've been very aggressive. Our new president's actually a doctor, a medical doctor. So I think he's been responding very well.
You touched on this a little bit, but what about the legal system? Any of the court proceedings still going for some of the girls, or is that on hold too?
Most of the custody hearings are on pause. We had some early into the shutdown that still went on. Criminal court is still going. And our team, particularly in Escuintla, our lawyer has been super busy, still going to trials and still defending the girls and speaking up for them in court. And, reading her reports is more and more, I'm just more and more grateful for the opportunity we had to open the Escuintla office and to take this extra step of having lawyers on our team. And we've contracted a couple of other lawyers because we just really can't afford them full time, but we've contracted for them to step in when there's too many dates for Susanna to cover. And to just see the difference in how the children are treated in court and how quickly the cases advance. So Susanna in Escuintla, she's turning criminal cases around in 6 months. And generally that's 15 months everywhere else. So just having her presence there, pushing the prosecutors to do their job and coaching them on how to do their job, which is, the disturbing thing, because you got prosecutors maybe never prosecuted a case, certainly never prosecuted a sex crime case in charge of a case for one of our girls. They just don't know the steps to do. And she really serves as a mentor to the prosecuting office of what to do. The judges now look to her more than the prosecutor to have all the right documentation and to do a lot of the kind of the paperwork, or have all the paperwork set and available for the judge. They just now, in a lot of cases, just turn to Susanna rather than the prosecutor and to ask for this stuff. So it's really been super to see what a aggressive, smart young lady can do to help bring restorative justice into the lives of these kids.
How life has changed drastically for so many there. Give us, for those who may be newer to the ministry, a day in the life, kind of walk through what a typical day would be like on campus, even compared to this now.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Great question, Brian, because before girls, this is where the house parents have been super, because before, basically most of the campus left, most of the girls on campus left campus by 7:30 in the morning and weren't back until 2 o'clock. And so they were in their schools and they came home at 2 o'clock and have lunch. 3 to 5 is homework time. And then they have some free time. So we're a little bit more relaxed to keep the pressure off. So the day starts with at 8 o'clock with a Zumba class. And so they do Zumba from 8 until about a little bit before 9. 9 o'clock is a time of worship. They're doing 2 or 3 worship songs and then a time of prayer. And I led the prayer time on Monday. And, you know, they were really talking about, you know, what are they worried about and what do they feel blessed about? And, you know, their real worries are about their family. They're also worried about staff that they don't see. They're worried about their classmates. And then, you know, they were worried about y'all and the people who support the ministry at Kids Alive. They were talking about their people who support the ministry and their mentors, and just really kind of, you know, it's hard for them being isolated and being concerned with everybody they're not seeing. And then, of course, the blessings of being protected, and they've got all their needs, physical needs being met, and, you know, they're just kind of, you know, grateful for being protected and wanting that protection to extend out of the walls of Oasis. And then depending on what's happening, we try to give from 10 to 12 a break for the house parents. So that would be, sometimes it's a movie, sometimes it's a table game tournament, sometimes it's psychology, and the psychology is leading all this time from 10 to 12. And then sometimes it's, you know, more educational, care for your body, you know, how to protect yourself from abuse, you know, how to deal with stress, and a lot of kind of workshops for them. We're also doing in the afternoons, so it's more kind of schoolwork, and we're doing their classes, special ed classes, and trying to do their keep up with homework. The teachers are now trying to do that by Zoom, and the house parents going through homework and trying not to lose so much traction for the kids school-wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and then late in the afternoon, it's soccer and basketball and kids having fun.
That paints a good picture of what is before and after it. And even though the situation has changed there, the girls' needs continue in mm-hmm. different and sometimes deeper ways. Have you had any knowledge of any coronavirus cases that have affected families or students' families or anything that specific?
No, we haven't had any specific news, nor from, you know, staff or really haven't had any specific news of anybody being directly affected by COVID. You know, there are I think 40 diagnosed cases in the country, which probably means there's, you know, 500 plus who would carry it, would be the base estimate. You know, I had a doctor friend I called, and we were talking through, because we were looking at, you know, do we need to tighten up some restrictions? So, you know, I don't think we've seen our peak here. That's why I think it'll go into April. And, you know, where our focus right now is, how do we care for staff? We're keeping all staff on salary. Everybody's getting full paychecks. And how do we take care of staff emotionally and take care of staff physically? And because if they're taken care of, they'll be able to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want to, just to give an end point to this, we want you to think through how we can support you more specifically there in terms of prayer and other resources as we will wrap near the end of this. But with mm-hmm. those that are on the call, I just wanted to graciously open up the Q&A. We've made some good time. Corby set a stage of what's happening and before and after and how the situation on the ground looks there today. So if you have a question, maybe you could wave a hand and I'll call on you. And those of you who are just on audio, that'll be a little bit of a challenge, but I'll try to moderate this as best I can, since I know there's some familiar friends on here for Corby that you'd probably like to give a greeting or at least have a question. We'd like to honor that if we could. Any questions that you may have right now? Jody?
You're not accepting any new girls at this time, or are you?
No, we are not.
Process is shut down pretty much.
We made a decision not to bring in new girls for the time.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question. Someone's written in, is there a concern about future food insecurity?
I don't know. I mean, part of my problem is I continue to think like a North American. So, I mean, there's plenty of food available. I think the problem is the villages and some of these smaller towns, the tendency is to overreact. And so that might create some problems. I mean, we have seen our food costs are up 15%. And so that's a concern. And then that'll permeate into people that can't afford that type of increase and could cause some problems. The government is trying to mitigate things. I'm not quite sure why food is up 15%, but it is. And so that could cause some downstream problems if this continues past April.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else like to be recognized for a question? I'm trying to scan as quickly as I can here. And anyone on the call who's not video connected would like to ask a question. Okay. Corby, as you think about where things could be headed or may be headed, what are some ways that we can continue to support you there?
We're very grateful to our support base. I mean, the support base has been faithful to us in prayer and in resources. We are wanting to crank right back up as soon as this is over and to get re-engaged with the Guatemalan government to gain back the momentum we had as far as making systematic changes to help Guatemala be a more just place. We're anxious to have the resources in place so that we can open the doors to children, new court cases coming in. I'm worried about what's going on in so many closed up houses without, the main source of reports are hospitals and schools, and both basically are closed. I mean, we had a mom, one of our girls, our social worker is working with, and the mother is in really grave physical condition because for a couple of reasons. She just had birth. The mother is suffering from basically debilitating depression because of what happened to her daughter, and we got her, our social worker coordinated getting her to a hospital. Hospital wouldn't admit her because of fears for COVID. And we went to another hospital. That hospital wouldn't admit her because of COVID fears and basically said, you can only count on God right now. And we finally did get her into a hospital. But without hospitals admitting people here, kids who are being terribly abused aren't going to be reported without being in school. Kids who are being abused won't be reported. So I would expect a bit of a floodgate once things open back up of need. So we'd like to be in position to be able to bring in, to be able to open our doors to kids who have been abused. And be able to keep get the staff going full speed and I really start living out our kind of our for Oasis Archaea, families together, our core verses that Matthew 5:15, hate evil, love good, and turn your courts into true halls of justice. And we want to get back to that as soon as possible. So, prayer requests, I'd say pray for, everybody's physical safety, our emotional health. So many people closed up all over the world, and Oasis and Archaea and Casa Estera are no exceptions. For the kids and source of hope, for their protection and families. And for leadership, give us wisdom of how we navigate again, balancing that those risks of physical protection and emotional health. I mean, the safest thing we could do, right, would be to lock the doors to Oasis, tell the house staff who's there, well, you just got to gut it out until it's over with, and we'll leave food at the door. I think if we did that, we would pretty soon arrive to a full-scale Lord of the Flies type scenario. And so we want to make sure the staff stays emotionally healthy and the girls are taken care of. And we get through this. We don't just survive, but even possibly thrive through it so that we're a united team on the other side of it. Mm-hmm.
One of the things, Lord willing, that we want to see happen in the coming months, once the travel bans are lifted, mm-hmm. we'd like to see some pastors especially come down on a vision trip. And I want to ask Steve to share a little bit about that, to give some hope about what's coming down the path, hopefully, and to give folks an opportunity to share this with your pastors and learn more.
Yeah. Are you seeing my screen? I can't tell. We've got great. At the moment, it's actually scheduled for the end of June. We might have to push that, but we just really want to engage and invite everybody on this call to think through pastors, whether it's at their church or at community churches or that they're connected to go down and visit our ministries. It's a very affordable trip. All in-country costs are covered. It would just be the cost of the pastor and his wife, if she wanted to come, of their airfare. And then, as you see, just a really quick itinerary where you'd be able to potentially even teach on Sunday and teach on Sunday with going in on Monday and all of the ministry visits on these 2 days in the middle and returning on Thursday. And so after the call, kind of in follow-up, this flyer is going to go out, and we'd love to encourage you to pray through pastors and church staff, because we need partnerships and partnering with our work in Guatemala. We just keep seeing that it's great for the churches as well as for our ministries there. So my contact information is in there, and please encourage anybody to reach out to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And that's just a great way for people to help us, is really to help us make new relationships. And I think everybody who comes down here, what God's doing through the teams and these ministries is pretty amazing. And I'm super grateful. Just to kind of be along with for the ride with what he's doing and the impact our team makes with kids, and the impact our team makes not just in Guatemala, around the world. It slipped my mind, but as we're talking right now, our foster family team, who created a new foster family system here in Guatemala, is talking to people in Costa Rica that they wanted to know about our model and what's going on. and how to implement that, because our fostering program is tackling the hardest thing. The hardest thing in the world is to place a teen in a foster family. I mean, that's hard. That's hard everywhere in the world, is to put a teen into a foster family. And then now let's compound that, and let's put a teen in a foster family with her two daughters, or with her kids. And that's what our guys are focused on doing. And so we had ministry in Costa Rica calling up, wanting to find out what's happening and how we're doing that. So, you know, it's really been amazing to be able to turn loose excellent people and let them do excellent things and think innovatively and think about what is true restorative justice. What does it mean what did it really mean to rescue a child, to bring redemption in their life and restoration? And so, you know, we're focused on particularly Oasis Archaea, Families Together, Escuintla, is how do you restore that child's rights to have a family, to live in community and live without feeling like she's threatened, and to not be threatened by abuse, not be threatened by revenge, not have her family threatened by revenge. You know, what that looks like. And our guys just, I mean, they're just doing amazing stuff. And I really think it could change. It's not just going to change Guatemala. I think it could change a lot of the systems in Latin America who operate similarly to this. And I, you know, tomorrow I've got a call with some people and schedule with some people in Africa who are interested in how we're doing this. I mean, you talk to somebody in the U.S. and tell them, well, we have an 88% success rate and placing a kid out of protective custody back in family so that kid doesn't have to be removed again after a year. And that's a record setter. You don't have, I mean, 88% success placing kids back in family is, that's pretty strong. And so we're just eager to get back to our game. And do this, and then and help other people, help other people with what we learn. You know, help the Guatemalan government. One of our things is we want to generously help everybody, and so we never charge for a training. We've never charged anybody to come to our campus or for us to go to their campus and do a training. And yeah, so we're just excited and eager to get back in the game. However the world looks in a post-COVID environment.
Corby, other questions coming in. For example, how do you see the teachings you've been sharing with the girls in terms of discipleship and the things they're learning? How has that helped prepare them for such a time as this that they're experiencing now?
The best response is how they're responding in prayer and in being concerned for others. I didn't hear any prayers about, oh, you know, I'm bored, or any prayers requests about me. It's their concern for others and for a child who has coming out of a trauma-based environment. The number one thing that you're not going to find in them is empathy. Their whole world is focused on how do I survive myself. And for them to have this outward focus of looking towards God and then understanding the security they have in them and who they are in Christ gives them that power to say, okay, well, you know, my concern is outward focus. And so, you know, just in their prayer list, you see them showing the values that we teach them of loving others. And that comes out, that can only come out based on a concept of who God is and who they are in Christ. The ability to look outward in a crisis where they're locked down and to want their concern is for others. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those lessons apply to all of us, don't they? I mean, the sowing and reaping of what we know now coming out
right
situation. Mm-hmm. Another question. Another question has come through. Just a practical issue regarding food supply. Is there? Do you have direct? How does that work there practically? Do you have food vendors or companies that directly supply, or do you have to go out and make?
We either go to wholesalers, or we go to PriceMart, which is the Guatemalan version of Costco. And so far, I mean, the same stuff that y'all are short of in the U.S., I'm still mystified by the whole toilet paper thing. And then the legitimate things like disinfectants, right? Because none of that stuff, disinfectants, none of that stuff is made here in Guatemala. So, that's all gone. And so, you know, we're trying to keep good supplies of soap, hand washing soap, and kind of making our own disinfectants with watered down Clorox in chlorine bleach. But other stuff, you know, not been hard to find, and particularly the staple type of things that in Oasis. I was a little bummed my brand of hot dogs wasn't available, so that was a small crisis for me. but right now we're not seeing shortage. The problem is the logistics of getting people to be able to drive to get to the wholesalers, and you know, the price increase has been a factor.
Mm-hmm. You've given us some prayer updates to share and to keep in prayer in terms of giving. We want to thank all of you who have given over the years, and many of you have given so generously and sacrificially over the years to Kids Alive Guatemala and to Corby and Janie, and you become family to them. Thank you for what you're doing, and obviously you know that the needs are always ongoing, and we're certainly needful before this and needful after this and during this. So we appreciate how you've stood with Kids Alive over the years and have continue to make an impact. We want to just remind you that through the website you can give to Kids Alive Guatemala directly. Corby will be connecting with our development team, has been. If you want specific information about projects, or as the needs change and as the projects change, we're available at a moment's notice to help interact with you about that, and certainly want to give you any information you'd like to have. Corby, you have any comments on any of that?
I basically echo it, Brian. We're super grateful for our team. And when I say that, I mean the team here and the team there at Kids Alive, and the team of that's the part of the team that's the support base. And, you know, one of our promises that we want to make and keep is that we are engaged in significant kingdom building here. And significant kingdom building in individual hearts, and then to take that, for lack of a better word, prophetic role to governments and other ministries of this is best practice. And it's not best practice because we say so, it's best practice because we have the evidence behind it that says it works. And, it takes we try to have the best team possible to implement those best practices and impact an individual child's life, impact an entire department that we're doing in Escuintla. I just really can't say enough about the four ladies that are out there. I mean, we're the only Christian ministry that's been invited to be a part of this network of government agencies, basically in that department, that area of Escuintla, that works on how to improve the system for sexual abuse, not just for children, but for women as well. And so you go in a meeting and there's 17 organizations there, and we're the only ones representing Christ. And at the end of the meeting, Last meeting, this has now been delayed, of course, because of COVID, they asked us to start doing a training program for the police department. And, you know, that's based out, that's God opening the doors. We'll be able to, the neat thing there is there's a church that we can partner with, I think, to help bring the gospel into the police department. But that door is opened by Christ using our expertise. You show up with good people doing great things and doors open. And God's been using that tool to do some incredible stuff. So we just want to get back at it. And be smart in the meantime. You know, our biggest problem is keeping people from going to work. Hmm. And so nobody's happy about not being able to go to work. And everybody wants to get back on game and get back into doing kingdom building. And that's what we're about. And that's what we want to be faithful with all this, all of our supporters and with Kids Live of being kingdom building in individual hearts and kingdom building in individual court systems and kingdom building across the region.
Another question, just a follow-up to that. Are agencies paying for the training or is that something you provide? Yeah.
We don't charge them. And we even supply the coffee and the cookies. You know, because our viewpoint is this is something God has given us. And so as long as we're giving it away, God is going to continue to provide the resources for us to do it. You can't outgive God. And so he has done this. I keep telling everybody, I'm a dirtbag engineer from Cal College in South Carolina. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. So God is doing all this stuff. And the more we give it away, the more we're able to do it. And so that's just kind of our viewpoint is to be generous with the Guatemalan government and be generous with other ministries. And we're just sharing the gospel and the information God's given us.
Mm-hmm. We're going to close in prayer in just a few moments and want to say a word to all of our ministry partners that we want to pray for you. And if you'd like to email us your prayer requests, we know that many of you are facing transitions in terms of perhaps employment or families that are going through the crisis right now, or maybe some even in your family or circle of influence that have been diagnosed or going through health issues. We do want to pray for you and have been praying for you by name. And so if you'd like to email us afterwards, those of us on our team, you're welcome to do that. You can email Corby directly, obviously. And but we'd love to pray for you. Benjamin Downing is our Vice President of International Programs. He's on the call. And Benjamin, would you like to say a word or two before we close?
I'll keep it brief. Hi, everyone. I just, the person who wouldn't claim to say I manage Corby because I don't think anyone can manage Corby. I would just call out a few of the things that Corby won't say about himself. But he's been key in us delivering real impact to the children, but also thinking beyond our walls and that whole influence piece that he's spoken of, be that to other NGOs or Corby being a key part of many of the networks for other residential facilities in Guatemala, as well as being involved with the government. All of that is influencing Guatemala, but as we've begun to replicate and seek to multiply what he and his team have begun in Guatemala, there is impact and influence around the world going on because of this best practice that's going on. And Corby will always deflect to his team, and that's and it's an amazing team, but Corby's been key in this, and he's really answered God's calling and has been a key agent of change. And the impact is in Guatemala, but now it's going beyond that as well across the organization in all of the countries we work in. And yeah, we're hugely appreciative of him and the team and the girls' lives that we're changing at the Oasis. But also there's a bigger kingdom, as we've talked about, that multiplier effect where we're gaining influence in other countries as well because of being able to utilize the model that has now been written up and is being trained. So in Guatemala, but also beyond. And we're hugely appreciative of Corby and his team. Thank you.
Thank you, Benjamin. Corby, before we close, any final words for the group from you?
Just repeat, we're grateful. And we are grateful for the whole team. And that includes prayer supporters, financial supporters, Kids Alive office in Valparaiso, and the team here. And we're all, you know, no one part of this can work without the other part. And yeah, we're just, and our team, you know, our team thinks of themselves as one of our values is that we're warriors. And we, part of our ritual staff meetings is we declare that we are warriors in this ministry. And, you know, we want to get back to war and fight evil and get back to the business of rescuing, redeeming, and restoring. And I got a bunch of aggressive people, and aggressive people don't do well sitting on couches. And so they want to get at it. And we're just hoping to, the world turns back on in May or, you know, please Lord by June. And, I can release this team to do its job, and then we can get out there to try to help. I can get back out into meeting with donors and organizations so that we can get the resources down here they need. Mm-hmm. So thanks, and just deeply appreciative of everybody taking the time out this morning to hear what we've got to say.
Mark Cote, would you close our time in prayer?
Be glad to. And I would echo what Benjamin said, that when I was living in Peru, I remember first meeting Corby, not because of his accent or even the content he was delivering, but because of the perspective that he brought. And a prophetic perspective is one that hears from God and responds in our day. And I'm just grateful for the presence of Corby, the work of the team in Kids Alive Guatemala, the impact that's happening there, and really from there to the remotest parts of the world. And that is how the kingdom of God works. I also have found Corby's passion to remind me of what I think and picture these Old Testament prophets to be like, who they were warriors, and they were always seeking God's kingdom come, his will be done, above all else. And so I can hear in their question what I could very easily hear Corby and hear any of us crying out in these weeks and saying, Lord, how long? Mm-hmm. And so part of our prayer is, Lord, how long? Mm-hmm. And so let's join our hearts. Thank you all for joining us, for paying attention to this, turning aside to this, that we might hear a testimony, a word of testimony and encouragement from another corner of the kingdom, and may it impact all the corners where we are. Father, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We declare that you are worthy of all praise. We know that any battle we are a part of is one that is part of a war that you have already won through your Son. And Jesus, we exalt you and we rest in you. With those prophets, with the psalmists who cry out, how long, we add our voice to that. We add our voice on behalf of the families that are represented in this call. We add our voice on behalf of the communities, and especially of the vulnerable ones that we have the opportunity to minister to in Guatemala and in other places like that. God, we cry out, how long? To the one who we know is sovereign, to the one we know who is all-powerful and who is ever-present. We ask that you will be present with all of us, with our loved ones during this time. We pray for the ministry of the Comforter to be effective and powerful, miraculous, ministering hope where there is extraordinary grief. Lord, we also ask that we would have the grace to receive the answers that you provided your prophets in the Old Testament, the psalmists, answers that don't necessarily give a timetable, but call us back to that place of trust in Emmanuel. And so give us the grace to trust you. We don't know how long, but we do know you're trustworthy and we trust you. And as we trust, we pray that we will see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. To your name be the glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be sending you a follow-up email with a link that you can listen in again and forward to your friends. Thank you all. God bless.
Thank you.